looking at all the life. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. Oh, there were sand and hills and rings. The first thing I met was a fly with no buzz in the sky, with no clouds. The heat was hot and the ground was dry, but the air was full of sound. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name, because there ain't no one for to give you no pain. Desert sun, my skin began to turn red. After 3 days in the desert fun, I was looking at a riverbed. And the story it told of a river that flowed made me sad to think it was dead. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, your name, because there ain't no one for to give you no pain. I let the horse run free. The desert had turned to sea. There were plants and birds and rocks and things. Oh, there were sand and hills and rings. The ocean is a desert with its life underground and a perfect disguise above. Under the cities lies a heart made of ground, but humans won't give no love. Desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can remember your name, because there ain't no one for to give you no pain.
Sort of a psychedelic America there. Horse with no name. That, of course, I mean, you know the song, right? That's an English band called the Jack Rubies here on K-Rock. This one is brand new from Southside Johnny. This is called Little Calcutta.
You're somewhere in between, and I'm not sure why. Sleeping on a heap and eating what you'll find. I know we're somewhat more than kin, but a whole lot less than kind. That's what you'll find, yeah, in little Calcutta, yeah. That's what you'll find in little Calcutta. When you're beneath the city, ain't nothing you can do but crack. Ain't no use in crying, your tears are all in vain. If you're sleeping on the city streets, well, you must be insane. That's what they say in little Calcutta, yeah. That's what the mayor says. He says, right here in little Calcutta, nothing but exhaust now. Pull aside a bus terminal in the midnight hour. Let's stop with the dead, the dying, and the lost. Ho, ho, ho. Now you pray to God, but it never seems to hear. You're in the mayor's prayers, Lord, make them disappear. Well, politicians can pray until they drop. It's been a long ride down, and this is your last stop. All aboard for little Calcutta.
Now, not only is that a new recording from Southside Johnny Lyon, but that's also a Southside Johnny composition as well. There's a bunch of new songs on this album that are your compositions.
That's right. I even wrote them in a composition book.
A little one of those little black ones?
That's right.
Yeah, like a real old-fashioned kid school black, with the hardcover?
With the modeling on it and everything like that.
Oh,
yeah, I
great.
Stole it from my wife.
It said composition on it.
That's right. Composition book. I thought, hey, an omen.
This is new for you, writing songs.
Well, I wrote a bunch of songs on the last album, and I've been writing songs for a long time, but I've never had much faith in my abilities. But I've gotten better at it, so what the heck.
Where did the faith come from?
I don't know. I think Trapped Again from the Heart of Stone album, which I wrote most of the lyrics to, was a good send-off for me. And then on the rest of the records after that, Mercury and all the other infinitude of record companies I've been on.
You're sort of working your way through them all.
Yeah, I want a check from each record company. I figure they owe it to me. But I just got more confidence in it. And this album, I specifically wanted to write certain things. I didn't write all the songs on the album because I don't write that many songs.
Right.
But
the album is called Slow Dance, and it is it's a Southside Johnny album. This is not a Jukes album.
No. I wanted to try to do some things on my own, and as much as I dearly love playing with the Jukes, and it's real easy to write for them. You write a song, and they translate it into Jukedom. But I wanted to do some different styles on this, and I didn't feel like going through the band to, you know. Things get, things mutate when you go through a certain group of musicians. Whereas if you really want to try to get what's in your mind, you have to sit down and individually try to teach everybody something. And I didn't really feel like doing that. I'm lazy, basically.
Well, yeah, but was that a problem for you in going to the Jukes and saying, well, you know, I want to do this solo? I mean, was it like an ego thing, or people get paranoid and think, well, that's
it
for the Jukes? You know?
No, I think a couple of people were a little hurt that they weren't on the album, but you have to make those decisions sometimes. I mean, I'm friends with everybody in the Jukes and some people that have been in the Jukes and have left for their own reasons. And you can't just do things for friends and all. Sometimes if you're trying to make a certain thing sound a certain way, you have to go to the person that can do that or find somebody that can. Not that the Jukes can't play these songs, and they will be playing these songs at the Ritz, but I just didn't want to translate things. When a band is a unit, they play a certain way. Mm. And I want them to play that way, but these songs weren't that style, so I didn't want to compromise on
that.
Right.
Well, certainly the album works, and you're doing some wonderful things, not only with songwriting but with your voice as well, and getting into some of the areas that you haven't gotten into as far as the Jukes is concerned. So it makes sense, but it certainly it fuels rumors and stuff. You know, oh, yeah, Southside Johnny's. Well, there's no Jukes. There's not. I mean, you open it up and you look at the credits. There's not even any Jukes on the album.
Well, Bobby's on the album.
Bobby Bandiera is here.
I met him through some other people at a songwriter's workshop that I was being the chair for, the moderator.
Did you bring your composition book to that?
I didn't bring my composition. They did. No, they brought tapes, which is the modern composition book. Anyway, I met him, and he has a little demo studio down on 30th Street, and he's got a Macintosh computer and a lot of synthesizers and drum machines and things that I am not really conversant with. And he's really very good at them, and we translated the songs through that so that we could move things, and if I didn't like a certain riff or I didn't like the key of a song, it was not a big deal to change it. Mm. If I wanted to take out a bridge or extend something.
Was this the first time working that heavy duty with that kind of
equipment? Yeah, I've never really done anything like that before.
I mean, you have to, I guess, to a certain extent. If you go into any modern recording studio now, you've got to become somehow involved with a lot of that equipment. But the Jukes and Southside, I mean, it's always been such a basic, funky, you know, make it real kind of a sound. And when I opened this up and started looking at the credits, and I said, wow, man, look at all these machines, you know?
Well, there's not a lot of machines on there. We have real drummers and real bass players and real guitar players and saxophone players and all like that.
Yeah.
It's just that the beginning process was easy. It was two people collaborating. Steve wrote a lot of songs with me. Instead of bringing in a band and saying, look, the song is in G, it goes through these chord changes, this is the tempo, this is where I want to go with this style and all. We could do that ourselves and spend 8 hours a day really winnowing down the song to what we wanted it to be, rather than relying on the memory of musicians and personal styles and things like that. Then when you get that, you bring in a stylist, Zev Katz or John Putnam, all these other people who can play all different things, and show them what you want them to play. And then they, in turn, bring their own emotions to it. But they learn what you want them to do instead of you saying, what can you give me?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an interesting process for me. These songs are different than stuff I'm used to doing. They're not R&B-based. Some of them are like the one you just did. But a lot of them are very... they're ballads. The lyrics were the most important thing to me, the chance to just sing.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't want a lot of input from a lot of musicians. I wanted to try to make it come out of my own mind.
Let me pause for a couple of commercial words, and then you're going to do something live for us.
Oh, God,
okay?
Are we?
Right after this.
On K-Rock.
Come on, America, do that kick. Come kick, lift that kick. With vitamins and minerals, milk's your pick. Come kick, lift that kick. The heartland pours it on real tall. The Southland says, come on, y'all. In the USA, there's just one thing to say.
America's favorite health kick.
Kicking around New York takes a lot of energy, especially if you're traveling in true New York style on foot. And that's why Milk is New York's favorite health kick. It's got the vitamins, minerals, and protein to keep you right in step, even after a long day. So come on, New York, do that kick.
The East Coast drinks milk, it's work and a play. The high country's drinking milk every day. In the USA, there's just one thing to say. America's favorite health kick, milk.
Sponsored by America's Dairy Farmers, American Dairy Association.
If you have a yen to buy a Honda, Nissan, or Toyota, we'd like to steer you in a different direction, towards a Volvo 240. Although there are other cars in its price range, the 240 comes with something you can't put a price on, a reputation for safety that's nothing short of legendary. After all, the 240 helps protect passengers with a steel safety cage whose every weld is strong enough to support the entire weight of the car. On top of that, the Volvo 240 gives you a roof that's so strong, its pillars can support the weight of six Volvos. Plus, specially designed crumple zones front and rear will protect you even further. And Volvo engineering also gives you a car that lasts. In fact, there's at least one Volvo on the road with well over 1 million miles on it. Which is why every Volvo has a six-digit odometer. So see your New York, New Jersey Volvo dealer for a 240, and you'll see the only similarity between Volvo and ordinary cars is the sticker price.
How Sticklets Gum can make you a billionaire.
I was on this train in the Peruvian jungle, and this elderly gentleman next to me sees me chewing Sticklets. Well, I start telling him about the Sticklets Super Pack, how it's got 21 slim sticks, refreshing all-natural mint flavor, and somewhere between Machu Picchu and Lake Titicaca, I offer him a stick as he leans forward to take it. A poison dart flies through the window, just missing him. He is very grateful and gives me $1 billion and the country of Bolivia.
Yes, another great reason to chew Sticklets Gum.
Did he say Lake Titicaca? That one went past me real fast.
W.C. Fields line. Lake Titicaca.
Lake Titicaca. Little caca poo-poo humor here on 92.3 K-Rock. Southside Johnny Lyon is my guest. I was telling somebody the other day about it. It was one of my great rock and roll memories, John, and it had to do with one day when you and the Jukes played in Central Park. This was back which was the beer company?
I guess it would probably be Miller
Was it Miller or Schaefer?
It was Schaefer, right?
It was the Schaefer thing in the park. Where the skating rink was,
right.
And the outdoor rink, and in the spring and summertime they would put platforms out there or whatever, and that's the thing that's on the pier now for Miller,
right.
Was the Schaefer, I guess it was Schaefer back then. This is whenever it was, mid-70s or whatever. And so the Jukes were playing there, and Ronnie Spector was the special guest with the band.
Right, she did like 4 or 5 songs.
And I was introducing the band that night, and I remember being backstage. There were all those trailers backstage, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of hanging out, when all of a sudden, it was like a scene out of a movie. This door opened behind me, and this arm reached out, and this hand grabbed me. Almost by the scruff of the neck, and yanked me into the trailer, and it was Ronnie. And it was like, for all of us, I guess, when you guys started playing with Ronnie, or she started playing with you, it was like the fulfillment of this teenage fantasy. It was like, oh God, Ronnie Spector. You know, we all grew up listening to the Ronettes and having our fantasies and dreams about. So she grabbed me, she pulled me in, and she goes, Ben, I mean, she knew my name, she knew who I was and everything. I loved it,
you know? It's a wild moment.
She said, I gotta do, you gotta help me, you gotta help. I said, what's the matter? She said, I gotta learn the lyrics to this.
Sounds like Ronnie.
And I don't remember what song it was, but I remember spending about 10 minutes in this trailer with Ronnie Spector helping her, pumping her, and trying to get. And she still, I think, went out with the lyric sheet in her hand when she finally sang the song.
Yeah, one of her old Ronette songs. It's possible.
I don't know if it was a Ronette song or if it was one of your songs. I can't remember which song that.
I don't remember either, to tell you the truth. She was on the road with us for, I guess, about 3 or 4 weeks, something like that. It was a wild experience. I mean, I was an honorary Ronette for 4 weeks. It was great. I didn't play that. What do you call those castanets on a stick?
Oh, God.
and make all the and sing background, and it was fun.
Well, I fulfilled my fantasy by attempting to help her learn the lyrics to a song.
Well,
and I thank you for that, John. Without you, that never would have happened.
I would think you would have to thank Steve Van Zandt. That was his brilliant idea.
How is Steven? Have you seen him recently?
I haven't seen him in years. He or Bruce. I think we've all gone our separate ways.
All those the Asbury Park Shore days are behind a lot of us at this point, I guess, huh?
Yeah, Kevin Cavanaugh, the nighttime mayor of Asbury Park, is still down there. He still lives about four blocks from the Pony. So
yeah,
he crawls home from there occasionally.
Kevin is probably the only original juke still
with
the band, right?
Yeah,
he's a keyboard player, piano player, Kevin Cavanaugh.
Yeah, he's been with me 15 years.
Wow.
He must
can't get a real job.
That's what I try to tell him, but he doesn't listen to me.
Bobby Bandiera, who is with the Jukes these days, is here with us this morning as well. He has his guitar. Johnny has his harmonica, and we're going to turn things over.
Okay. Are we going to turn things over? Let me hear you. Let's see if I can hear you. Strum. We tune on the air. Remember that Birds, when he said, "We tune because we care," on Johnny Carson? And people were...
I don't remember that.
The Birds were on the Johnny Carson show years and years ago, and Roger McGuinn and I forget who said it or anything, but they were tuning up, and they were supposed to be, you know, you cut right to the band. The band plays and into commercials and blah, blah, blah. And they just took their time and were tuning, and the audience was tittering in the background. And I guess it was McGuinn or I can't remember who, but he leaned and said, "We tune because we care."
That's a great
and
line.
Continued just tuning, and then they did the song. It's great.
Well, sure.
It's an old Tom Waits song, "Just as soon as we finish caring."
Like I'm tuning, right? All right.
Well, you gassed her up, and you're behind the wheel, with your arms around your sweet one, in your Oldsmobile, and you're bowing down the boulevard, looking for the heart of Saturday nights. You got paid on Friday, and your pockets are jingling, and you see those lights, yeah, and it gets your tingling, cause you're cruising with a six, just looking for the heart of Saturday night. And you comb your hair, shave your face, you try to wipe out every trace of every other day. In the week, you know tonight'll be the Saturday that you're reaching your peak, stopping on the red, going on the green, cause tonight'll be like nothing that you've ever seen. And you're barreling down the boulevard, just looking for the heart of Saturday night. Is it the crack of the pool ball, neon buzzing? Is it the telephone ringing? It's your second cousin. Is it the barmaid is smiling from the corner of her eye? Is it the magic of the melancholy tear in your eye? Oh yeah, it makes a kind of quiver down in the cold, cause you're dreaming about those Saturdays that came before. It's got you stumbling, stumbling into the heart of Saturday night. Yeah, it's got you stumbling, stumbling into the heart of Saturday night. Uh-huh.
Yeah. I can't hear you, man.
Oh, we can do something about that. You want headsets?
No, that's okay.
Oh, that sounded so good.
Well, thank you. I'm not used to singing without horns blaring.
No, that sounds wonderful. That fulfilled every expectation I had, and they're a couple of years old now.
Get into that,
yeah,
right?
For Acoustic Southside, it was, I guess it was like 2 years ago, or a year and a half, whenever it was, we were doing our big Easter Acoustic Extravaganza.
2 years already?
Almost 2 years, yeah.
Holy man.
And Johnny was one of the people that I invited on that show that had everybody from Dave Van Ronk to Joey Ramone on it. And I thought it would be great to have Johnny Lyne come up and do something acoustic. And we got our signals crossed, and John had the wrong date marked on the calendar.
I screwed up. Don't lie.
I'm trying to be polite. I'm trying to be polite here, John.
Why? This is radio.
I'm trying to... We were so worried that night because there were like over 50 musicians on the show. And I don't want to make you feel bad here or anything, but you were the only one who didn't show up.
Bobby didn't show either.
Well, and Bobby didn't show either.
I was listening.
But it was like, well, geez, something must have happened to Johnny. I was so upset.
I know. I'm
so
sorry
worried.
About
and
that.
We called your house, and there was no answer. There was no phone machine. And I just envisioned all sorts. I felt like your mother, you know. It was like, oh, God, he's lying on the side of a road somewhere in a ditch. You know, I didn't know what happened to you, and it was... It was a simple case of you screwed up.
You were with me.
I know. Synaptically, I was not all together, I'm afraid.
We were in a bar somewhere.
And no, that's not true. I just thought it was the next night. I was ready for it. We rehearsed. I mean, I was very... Because I'm a big Tom Rush fan. I told you that.
Right.
And
you were going to play harmonica with
Yeah,
Rush.
And I mean, holy mackerel. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. Now I'm really depressed.
So I've been waiting all this time, anticipating it, and every once in a while I say, yeah, when are we going to have Johnny up? We got to get Johnny up. And the timing is right now. You and the Jukes will be at the Ritz in a couple of weeks over Halloween weekend. And I knew it was going to sound just like that, John.
You did?
That was beautiful. That was
You're
really
gonna
nice.
Be all that bad, huh?
Can you do another one?
Sure. Well, you want to do Trapped Again? You want to try it?
Yeah.
I need
Trapped
to hear
again?
You.
Trapped Again? Really?
What you need to do, Bob, is you need to move closer. We're going to adjust here.
Sure, do it. I tell you what, while you're adjusting, let me take care of some commercial business.
I need to just...
Burglary took place 4 p.m.?
Yes, officer.
What were you doing at the time?
I was just getting ready to watch TV.
And you noticed some things were missing?
I noticed the TV Guide was missing.
TV Guide?
TV Guide magazine. Fascinating features, juicy personality profiles, complete TV listings.
Was your TV gone, too?
No.
Stereo?
No.
Sarge, I got the alleged perpetrator here.
Lois, tell him I live here.
I found this guy here out in the garage here reading the TV Guide. You know him?
He's my husband.
Oh, okay.
Fine. Welcome.
What?
TV Guide magazine. Fun to read, tough to put down. The best thing on television.
Hey, Booker, what is it about that Mountain Dew you're always drinking?
Buzzy, Mountain Dew is like rock and roll. It can make your spine tingle and your heart beat faster. And make your feet move like they got a mind of their own. Mountain Dew does you right. And Mountain Dew keeps on coming through. Like when the bassman starts driving, you can feel the power. When you've got hot music on the box and plenty of dew chilling on ice, you are flat out stoking.
Circle and Record World have got something super for you. It's Warner Electra and Atlantic Super Saver Series, and they're on sale right now. Get every cassette and compact disc from the Warner Electra and Atlantic Super Saver Series for just $5.49 each cassette and $10.99 each CD. Great stuff like In Excess, Listen Like Thieves.
Listen Like Thieves.
U2, Under a Blood Red Sky. Get Led Zeppelin 4, Eagles Greatest Hits, Elton John's Greatest Hits Volume 3, records from Foreigner. All these and many more cassettes and compact discs from the Warner Elektra and Atlantic Super Savers are on sale now at Square Circle and Record World. Just $5.49 each cassette and $10.99 each compact disc. Music from the streets to the stars at Square Circle and Record World.
Record World!
This is 92.3 K-Rock, and I'm Vince Scalza, Idiots Delight. That's the name of the show. Southside Johnny Lyne is my guest this morning with Bobby Bandiera from the Jukes. And, you know, I was just thinking about something. We mentioned Steve Van Zandt, and you said you haven't seen Steven in a while, and, you know, you and Bruce and Steven have kind of all gone your separate ways. Did you go through a period? I went through a period of real intense withdrawal from that whole scene. I mean, there was a period when we were all sort of, you know, hanging out. It was the Shore, it was Asbury Park, it was the Stone Pony, it was all those late nights, it was all those phone calls saying, come on down, the Juke's going to be, you know, whatever, Bruce is going to be, whatever, and we were all, and there was a period when I withdrew from that and went through like a drug, almost like a drug withdrawal from it, where I felt bad about it ending.
Yeah.
You know, did you go through any of that at all?
I didn't really, because what happened was we went on the road, and we went intensely on the road. We were going for 13 months one time, and we always, once we put up the first album, we were going a lot, so I wasn't there that much. Mm. After we left the Pony and, you know, went on the road, we went to Europe. We went all over the country 20 times, so... I just was sort of an enforced exile.
Yeah.
We played a lot of clubs, not unlike the Pony, all across the country. So it was just a lot of growth in that period for me. I went from being a wild, very do-whatever-I-want on stage kind of person to learning a little bit more discipline, and then getting out of that again and becoming free on stage, more spontaneous on stage, but within a different context, if you know what I mean.
Mm.
I mean, we still do... still do a lot of strange things on stage, but I try to provide enough, I guess, professionalism so that the bulk of the show is pretty solid, and then we have a lot of room to fool around inside that.
Well, you'll be doing some of the new songs from this album with the Jukes, right?
Yeah, I will be doing at least 4 or 5 at the Ritz, I hope.
And that's coming up over Halloween weekend. What is it, Friday night and then Sunday night? Are those the dates?
Friday, Monday, Sunday, or Saturday.
Saturday and Monday.
Okay, 29th. The 29th and then the 31st. Oh, Halloween's on a Monday. Got to think about that in terms of when we're going out trick-or-treating, me and the kid. You know, John, when we were growing up...
I know.
You didn't have... Me. Your parents didn't go out trick-or-treating with you.
They didn't have to.
Right?
I grew up in Ocean Grove. I mean, I'm sure still today they can go out in Ocean Grove.
In Ocean Grove, they probably can.
I mean, we used to... When I was 10 years old, we were out till 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
My brother Tom and I, who was 11 and a half, and my parents, I guess they worried, but they didn't worry enough to keep us in.
No.
We had free run of the town.
My kid can't go out by herself. No, kids can these days, really, you know, unless you live in a certain kind of a neighborhood, I guess,
yeah,
where everybody knows everybody. But
the world has turned meaner as we've gone along, so it's too bad. We used to, when we started playing in the Upstage Club, and I was 17, 18 years old, I was out till 5 o'clock in the morning. We were wandering the streets of Asbury Park, and it wasn't always safe. I mean, there were a lot of tough people and a lot of bad areas and things like that. But I guess we were more oblivious because it wasn't ground into our brains by the media. And all. And I'm not blaming the media. That's their job, to report those things. And, it's, you know, if we were smarter, we wouldn't have done some of the things. But, you know, most of us lived through it. These days, I don't think you can afford to take that chance. Especially not with your own child.
Yeah, there's a sense of all that, too, on that song that we played from the album before, on that Little Calcutta.
Little Calcutta.
Although that goes beyond that element of tension or danger or whatever. There's a whole other, you know, kind of political and social thing happening in that song.
Yeah, I'm not really... I don't make many political statements in my songs. I've written a lot with anger and accusatory songs, but I don't usually put them on the... records, because I don't know, I just don't feel comfortable doing that. But this song was, Little Calcutta was something special to me. I went through the Port Authority bus terminal every day all winter to write these songs with Steve Skinner, who lives in New York. And I just saw a lot of people down and out begging in New York City while the big high rises are going up, and, you know, Donald Trump is buying whatever $30 million play toy he wanted
every day. It just, it was just terrible. It was a very disparate existence. Yeah. You know, the worst is so bad and the best is so overblown and ostentatious that you would think there'd be some great middle we could strive for. And it doesn't seem like anybody wants to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. This you're going to do Trapped Again,
yeah,
which is an old Juke song, which sort of segues out of this conversation, I think, kind of neatly. I mean, there's that element there in that song.
This is a song much about desperation, but on a more personal level.
Right.
Yeah. At least I think. Okay, I don't know how to start this. How do you...
I look a little different, darling, it's 'cause I've changed. Happy to fix this, girl, I'm all that remains. Can't let my past mistake, no, no, let it bring me down, baby. But I can't get no angel of mercy. I came to stay, but I got swept away. I'm trapped again. I can't get out without losing you. I'm trapped again. But I can't see what I'm going through. I'm trapped again, baby. I need an answer, girl. Can't you see I'm trapped again? Better rescue me. Monday morning, darling, came so fast. Only fools dream that dreams will last. I close my eyes, but it's still so clear. I remember the night, babe, the world disappeared. Yeah, I can't let this hand of fate, no, let it drag me down. I can't get no angel of mercy. I came to stay, but I got swept away, and I'm trapped again. And I can't get out without losing you, and I'm trapped again. I can't see what I'm going through, and I'm trapped again. I need an answer, can't you see I'm trapped again? Baby, rescue me. Let it drag me down. But I can't get no angel of mercy. I came to stay, but I got swept away. I'm trapped again. I can't get out without losing you, and I'm trapped again. I can't see what I'm going through. I'm trapped again. I need an answer, girl. Can't you see I'm trapped again? Rescue me. I'm trapped again. I can't get out without losing you. I'm trapped again. I can't see what I'm going through. I'm trapped again. I can't get out without losing you. I'm trapped again. I can't see what I'm going through. I'm trapped again.
Outside Johnny Lyon and Bobby Bandiera.
I'm like forgetting the chords after a song like 1800.
My harmonica seized up on the one note. It's actually Vinny Scelsa's harmonica.
That's a real old harmonica, too.
Oh, man. No. It's the one note I needed, too. Oh, well. Hey, that's the way it goes. You
at least it was in the right key, John.
Yeah, that's right.
You brought every harmonica except...
Well, I didn't know we were going to do that. The one in C. That's a bright idea.
Yeah. Let's do a song. Let's play a song from the album.
Okay. That one we probably have for most of the notes, right?
This no, I'm gonna play the record.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
And then maybe you can do one more for us before
sure.
we get off this morning. Tell us a little bit about this song called "Sirens of the Night." This is one of the songs you co-wrote with. Now, Steve Skinner, do we know?
No.
Does he have other credits at all? Or?
He's done things for a lot of different people. He, I guess he's from Boston or someplace like that. And he was a keyboard player. He played with Joy Askew and a number of other different people. But he started this little demo studio, little tiny room, smaller than this room probably. But he's got all this equipment in it that you go in with your song, just acoustic guitar or just a lyric and chord changes, and he transforms it into a whole demo so you can take it to an artist or a record company and present it in a more presentable form, I guess you could say. He's just very good at all that, and he's a very good player and a good songwriter. And when I met him, all I wanted to do was transform songs that I had written on guitar or piano into demos so that I could proceed with the album. And once we started working together, we just became good friends, and it was a very good collaboration, so I stayed with him.
So you guys co-wrote this song called Sirens of the Night.
Yeah, it's a song about a long, long, long time ago. I lived in New York City. I wanted to be a fiction writer, and... I got more caught up with living in New York City than writing fiction, and that's basically what the song is about, how you can get drowned in the city.
This is Southside Johnny on K-Rock. This is a real neat lyric, John.
Thank you.
So tie me to the masthead of your sad old 68 and let the sirens sing their song and lead me to my fate. That's a real neat lyric.
Thank
That's
you.
A good image. Sirens of the Night. Southside Johnny from the album called Slow Dance, which has just been released. And Johnny and Bobby Bandiera from the Jukes are my guests this morning here on Idiot's Delight. They're going to do one more song for us live right after this.
The Beacon Theater is about to explode with four hot shows. Billy Bragg, live October 26th at the Beacon Theater. Special guest Michelle Schacht and Grupo Moncatol. Then Halloween night, October 31st, see his last area appearance of the 80s. Iggy Pop. Iggy Pop and special guest Murphy's Law. Then coming November 10th, with captivating Tony Childs. Together live with Johnny Clegg and Savuka. Tony Childs with Johnny Clegg and Savuka. And very special guest, Steve Forbert. Then November 16th, Michelob presents Leonard Cohen.
Take Manhattan.
Live at the Beacon Theater. Reserve seats for Leonard Cohen go on sale this Monday.
Then we take Berlin.
All other tickets on sale now at the Beacon Theater, Capitol Theater, Ticketron, or charge through Teletron. Produced by John Scherr.
No matter what you're looking for in a car, it's a deal. Geo is a line of new ideas.
Geo.
Like Geo Metro, a go anywhere, do anything hatchback.
No matter what.
Geo.
And Geo Tracker, a rugged little 4x4.
Geo.
With tough stability. Geo Metro has the highest mileage in America. EPA estimated MPG City 53, Highway 58.
Geo.
Geo has some of the lowest prices you'll find anywhere.
Geo.
Just call 1-800-DIAL-GEO. Sold and serviced by select Chevrolet dealers.
Geo.
No matter what.
So have you read any good books lately?
Actually, I did just read a couple of good books. What did I read?
What do you like these days?
Gee whiz. Oh, you know, I've just started reading a guy named Harry Cruz who's been around
for
a long time.
Oh, God, me too. I just started reading him.
Yeah, I just read, you know, the funny thing is I just finished a book two nights ago called The Gospel Singer, which is his first
novel
back in, I don't know, 65, 66. And it is very much like the Jimmy Swaggart thing.
Yeah.
But it's very apocalyptic and symbolic. Really a good book.
I just read it this summer. I got into him. I read the current one, The Knockout Artist.
I read that too.
I've been avoiding Harry Cruz for some reason. I always figured he was like this macho kind of writer, and I really wasn't interested in it. And I read Knockout Artist, fell in love with his style and what he was doing, and just went and grabbed everything I could possibly find and spent this summer reading all of his stuff, including Gospels.
Yeah, he's got a terrific ear for dialogue. Yeah. You know, I think one of the problems is that when I read the New York Times Book Review or a Village Voice literary thing, they categorize people, and he's this Southern writer.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately you think of Faulkner and all that, and I don't know, you just get turned off for some reason. You need to open your mind. Obviously, I'm a little too hidebound myself, but I don't like it when they do that, you know? It's like Don DeLeo is a certain kind of writer, and this guy's this kind of writer. It becomes too easy to dismiss things,
yeah.
And too easy to go for things that you think are good, that will fit in what you like. You should break out of what you like. Anyway, I don't like...
But that's not only in books. That's in all the art/entertainment forms that we have. We always want to pigeonhole people. We always want to put things into categories. And then we can, like you said, we can dismiss them and get on to something else. Michelle Schacht, Suzanne Vega, Tracy Chapman. Oh, women, acoustic women, songwriter category. But put them all over there now.
Right.
And then we can get rid of them and go on to the next page of People magazine.
And I found out after all these years that I like so many different styles of writing and music and graphic arts, things like that, that I try not to get caught up in all of that, but you do because you get certain signals from reviews. You don't learn about books unless you read reviews. You just can't go willy-nilly and pick them. There's so many out. You just get caught up in what you think you like and what you think you don't like, and you avoid one and go for the other, and you just stay in that path for years.
Yeah.
And then I pick up a Harry Cruz book,
I really loved it. It really knocked me
out. Bam! You get, yeah. you go, wow, where has this been?
I guess that's my fault, but anybody else's though.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm going through kind of a dry spell right now. Everything I pick up, I'm not relating to. I'm getting angry at all these books. I guess you and I are similar in that basically what I read is contemporary fiction. I like contemporary fiction. I'm sort of addicted to it in a way. Talk a lot about it on the radio. And there are these periods, there are these spells where just nothing that I pick up connects at all with me emotionally or in any other way. I like Ann Tyler. I like her new book, Breathing Lessons. It's real good.
Yeah, there are a lot of very good writers who are producing good things. There's a lot of stuff that gets in there that is not very good. And
there's a lot of people.
And they're all packaged the same way, and I don't know.
There's a lot of this thinly veiled autobiography from people who are living boring lives. You know, I don't want to read about it. You know, who are like living lives of being writers, writing about being writers.
Yeah,
there's no real world in there.
Yeah, I still read a lot of Joyce and older stuff. My wife got me a copy of The Complete Angler, which is an old book from 1640-something. Isaac Walton, which is a very chatty book about fishing in England back in the Elizabethan age and right after that, actually. And it's really great. It's just, it takes you completely out of all of the things that go on in your own world and into a completely different world. It's not even the same language. Things are spelled differently in different words. And it's very...
Good sex scenes in that, too. Right? Page 268.
I haven't gotten that far yet. I'll have to check that
okay.
out.
We have time for one more song?
Sure. This will be for Joe. Jill and I had a little fight today, so this is for Joe.
So I beg you, let it be me. Don't take this heaven from one. If you must cling to someone, now and forever, baby, just let it be me. Each time we meet, love, I find complete love. Girl, without your sweet love, what would life be? So never leave me lonely. Just tell me you love. And that you'll always just let it be me, yeah. And that you'll always just let it be me.
That's real special. That's real nice. Southside Johnny Lyon, Bobby Bandiera, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for this.
This is neat. Southside and the Jukes will be at the Ritz on the 29th and the 31st, sort of Halloween weekend, sort of there.
That's right.
It's Saturday night and Monday night.
Southside. I don't know why that is. It just is.
And, you know, I got all this fax stuff all around me because we've been doing this fax request. It just occurred to me that if anybody wanted to, they could fax something to you, like right now, immediately, you know?
Probably a bill or some kind of lawsuit or something.
If you have a fax machine and you want to fax something to Johnny Lyon, you can do it at 212-759-KFAX. That's our number, KFAX. 759
We have one in the hardware store we live next to. That's our office now. They have a fax machine, so he said, can we fax something over to here? Oh, sure.
Well, that's become the thing now. You know, these public fax machines, like going out to a public payphone or something like that. You know? So you have one in the hardware store?
Yeah, the hardware store next to us has a little office typing, copying center up. You know, it's two rooms. So we say, well, send it to our fax machine. It's actually a hardware store next to it.
That's great. Well, if anybody wants to fax something to Southside, you can do it at 212-759-KFAX. And we'll let's wrap things up with this song, which is the last song on the album, Slow Dance. This is a song that you co-wrote with Bruce, with Springsteen. He did the music, you did the lyrics. You did it by mail or something, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, 10 years ago when we were doing the Hearts of Stone album, I had a number of sets of lyrics, and one of them was Trapped Again, the song we did before. Steven rewrote the lyrics, and he and Bruce wrote some music. Another set was Walking Through Midnight, a song, just a bunch of lyrics I had written, a song I had written, but I had no music or melody, and Bruce wrote that. I got a cassette back, a month later with Bruce just strumming and singing the lyrics, but with melody and chords. And it's taken me this long to get it to a place where I like it enough to put on a record. We had a version for Hearts of Stone. We had a version for one of the Mercury albums, and we tried it on last album, and I couldn't get it right.
Well, it's finally here now, and it's on the album called Slow Dance, Southside Johnny. This is called Walking Through Midnight on 92.3 K-Rock.
There's no trace of dawn.
Here's Southside Johnny Lyon. That song called Walking Through Midnight from his new album, Slow Dance. Once again, my thanks to John and to Bobby Bandiera from the Jukes for spending some time with us this morning here on Idiot's Delight, entertaining us with some live music in the studio. I'm Vince Gelsa. That's it for me. Stay tuned for Tony Pig, who will keep the facts flowing here on WXRK New York, 92.3 K-Rock.
Oh, Annie M., there's no place like home.
And we'll get together again next Sunday between 9 and noon for another edition of Idiot's Delight. Take care.